Хөрхөн охид trap songs trap songs trap songs trap songs trap don't song trap Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаа Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа
Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got the great Sam Tripoli here. Very excited about this. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, marijuana is legal in California. Don't leave your house to get it, okay? Get it delivered, especially during the quarantine, all right? Don't go to a dispensary and breathe on everybody and sneeze and have everyone cough on you. Get it delivered, speedweed.com. They'll take care of it. They got marijuana. They got THC sex lube, all kinds of great stuff, speedweed.com. I'm excited about this guest. I've been friends with him 17 years. Since the first move to LA, one of the first people I saw at Dublin's was you crush at Dublin's back in the day.
Oh, you caught that one night?
Yeah, yeah, the one night. We got
Thank you.
Tripoli, we've toured together. I've seen it. I've seen it all, man. Sam, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. After the show, I want to give you a couple notes on your read. I have some things you can tighten it up, you know, really help you bang it out. You know, this is what I just do. I teach read class. I teach podcasters how to give reads. It's in the Valley. It's a very popular class.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
With chicks who do murder podcasts. That's yeah. My biggest client. So come down and it will totally rock. I'm great to be here, Adam. You're one of my favorite people in all of Los Angeles. So anytime I can come chop it up with you, I love it. Your work ethic is unparalleled.
Appreciate it. Did you shave your head?
It's like a kind of, yeah, man. Like I don't think I could get the barber or the hairstylist who came over to go full mohawk on me.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, I'm too fat to have a mohawk. I don't think you could be fat and have a mohawk. You can't want anarchy but be too lazy to get off the couch. So, right. I a faux hawk kind of meets in the middle.
Well, since this is a fighting podcast, for the most part, we got to talk about –
I take Krav Maga. I don't know if anyone knows that. I've been taking about 3 weeks of it before the shutdown. I could fuck up anybody over 60 right now. Nice. My fighting name is coronavirus because I only fuck up old people. That's what my nickname, my street fighting name is. So that's what I take Krav Maga. I fucking love it.
Have you got to the point where they give out the fake guns?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to get there. I'm just in the class right now with women. They haven't advanced me to any real threats yet, but I fucking love it.
Dude, I was in Krav Maga and they were giving women like plastic guns and I'm like, do not even, like how to remove a gun from somebody. And they were like, just give them your fucking money and your purse.
Exactly. And, you know the best way to get a gun off of you is throw your fucking wallet at them.
Yeah, this is
I mean, like Krav Maga instructors are wonderful, but they think they live in a Grand Theft Auto world. They swear to God, they just think that like it's Grand Theft Auto. But I just like it because like they don't. You get in there, they're like, "Hey, dude, this ain't a martial arts. Don't call me Sifu. Don't call me Master. We're just here. How do you get in? How do you get out? That's all I want to know." I like, yeah. Dude, I took jiu-jitsu. I love jiu-jitsu. My best friend is Eddie Bravo. I mean, dude, I took 3 classes with Eddie Bravo. I tapped Keenan Ivy Wayne's, and I just quit. I'm like, it's never going to get better than that. But I'm like not limber enough to do it. But like Krav Maga, you can be fat. You can be old. You can be a wave model. It doesn't matter. You just find a way to kill people.
Yeah. Well,
so when I mentioned the big news, I meant your Krav Maga class. But I also meant that UFC 249 is happening in Florida, which of course is happening in Florida. Florida, home of the face fighter, Casey Anthony, George Zimmerman.
Broward County is where all the bizarro shit goes down.
Broward County, yeah.
Broward County is just
Broward County, like the crazy insane shit in Miami-Dade is all the fucking
me and you did a show in Tampa and there were all these empty strip clubs during the day. We went to like 10 of them and we walk into one and within 5 minutes you're on the pole doing tricks.
I love Tampa. I like Vegas. Vegas is like blue collar LA and Tampa is like scumbag Vegas. So it's like it just keeps getting weirder. And that's what I love, because, you know, everything in Vegas comes with a dollar sign. People in Tampa, they do scumbag shit for the love of the game. And that's why I just like going there. It's just fun, weird people. And like my friends, like, hey, dude, you can move here for like $20. You can put down on a house and get a house here. I'm like, man, why am I living in the valley right now?
No, absolutely. So we went to so it's taking place in Florida. You know what? I mean, I say just go for it. If the fighters are into it, I mean, it's going to be empty.
I say that's for everything. Let people go. You know, it's like, let's go on our shield, dude. It's like, everybody's doing everything anyways. Like, all we're doing is not working. Everybody, dude, in LA, we walk around, these chicks, they got masks on their face, on their hands, but they're walking around in a thong. Like, it's like, I've never seen an epidemic where chicks are like, you know, walking around half naked. It's like the weirdest, like, human crisis I've ever seen in my life. It's like, it's the end of days, but I still want to give boners to people.
but you have a problem with that or no?
But it just doesn't make any sense, dude. It's like, let people work. Let us go buy a hazmat suit. Whatever. Let people work, dude. Yeah. I mean, and people are going to realize, oh, man, it wasn't that bad during an epidemic where I didn't have to go to my shit job. But let people fucking work.
I agree. I mean, you know, a lot of these fighters are not great with money. They fight twice a year. They're making $20,000 a fight or something. They got to pay everybody out. So they're coming home with $7,000. They want to fight. They train their whole lives for it. They want to do it. You know, so Dana says that they're going to have three events in 1 week. That's what they're talking about. Three events.
I love it, dude. I mean, like, listen, dude, the UFC used to be the outlaws. Yeah. You know, this is what they did. What made it so great was like it was like old school comedy, and where like every art starts out by outlaws who can't do anything else. So they have to do this. It's either that or go to prison. Right.
Right.
But like Adam, what were you going to do if you didn't do stand up? It's like, we can't do anything else.
True.
Like with this shit, the fan, I was like, what job am I going to do? Like, dude, I'm stuck in with my girl and my two girls, and I have to not go in heckle kill mode every time she snips at me. I got to remember, like, I have to live with this woman and not to, like, scorch the earth. So where can I go with that? So it's like, I miss the old UFC. So it's like, let them play. Let them fight. This is what they do.
I agree. Don't you feel as a comic, though, like, comedy's our therapy, and we need to get it out and vent. And now we're just, like, our powers are taking away in a lot of, like, I don't get the have nights where I get to feel good. No matter how bad my day goes, I make someone laugh at night, or two people laugh, or whatever, 100 people laugh, people are crying. I'm like, oh, I'm doing something well with my life. I can sleep now. I can't sleep anymore because I feel completely unfulfilled. Do you have that issue?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've been just going so hard on podcast. I mean, I've been podcasting so much to fill that itch. And, you know, I mean, like, I'm also like, I'm 25 years into comedy, dude. I've been living like a college kid since I was 18 years old, man. And I'm 47 right now. I need to do something different. So, you know, having kids has been a great thing. And so I'm ready to shift in to, like, everyone's like, what are you going to do, an hour of kids material? Maybe, dude. I mean, like, how many cocaine and bad decision bits do I have to do before I can do like 45 on kids? Like, give me a moment, you know?
Well, aren't they related? Like, because this kid wasn't planned, yeah, right?
That's why the kid's there.
Were these kids planned?
I met their mother at Skankfest. Like, I mean, like.
No, you did not.
Yeah, he did.
I have a whole bit on it.
Okay, so the kid, because I knew
that's fucking awesome.
I knew that you got their mother pregnant, but I didn't want to say anything to you because you didn't tell me, but I kind of knew it because that word got out. And then you found out you were having twins. Talk to me about your life.
It is like working at a restaurant, and it's the lunch rush, and you're in the weeds constantly. It's like, it is just, they don't work together. They don't understand schedules, and they just run you, dude. They just run you. And you're like, I'm the dad. And dude, Adam, you're a kid. You know, you just had a kid. Like, think about what your dad used to do with you. He'd go to work, come home, have a beer, smack you, and go to bed. That was like interaction. Now it's like, dude, I'm nonstop handling these kids, dude.
No, but when you like,
I love them. I love them.
When you found out you were having twins, what were you just like, oh, great? Or were you just,
I'm just like, you know, You know, it's so funny when I read to the kids, I read them to these spiritual books. I've been reading them some Hindu stuff, and the mom will be in the in the other room and yelling, "There is no God," right? And then, which is weird because I said that same thing when she told me we were having twins, so we are kind of met for each other. But that's my life, dude. It's never the easy road.
You need
it. It's always fire, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, man, listen, having a kid was
the best. I have two people to wipe my ass when I'm old, so I'm good with it.
When I was having a wife and kid was the best thing that ever happened to me, man. Like, and it definitely drives you like nothing else. Because, you know, as comics, we could get by, sort of just figure out a way to get by. But when you have other people that depend on you, oof. You can't just get.
That's the issue that I've been running into in my coming into my adult stages of life into my 30s. Is like I can take care of myself 100%, no problem. All I need is a cardboard box, but the girlfriend is not having that. You know, so it's like you have to become another person.
Yeah, like, just wait till you have kids. Anymore. When you have kids, like everything's $1,000. Like there's, you know, the smallest thing. You're like, how much for these sneakers? $1,000. They're like, it's going to last 2 weeks. These things are growing so quickly. They're like a virus. They just keep growing.
I was going to tell you that, like, there's a thing called the snoo. It's a bed that straps the kid at night and rocks her to the bed. It was the best thing that ever happened because our kid would not sleep. But you have, but they're $1,200. You have two kids. That's kind of an investment for you.
Well, dude, I mean, I'm walking around with this mask. I might as well go start robbing some places.
Now, Sam, I know I've seen – I mean, listen, what I like about you, Sam, and I, you know, when I think about – because I think about people who have not had it easy in their career and just kept moving forward. And you're the first person that comes to my mind because I don't know if you're open about some of your failures, but – You've had so many fucking doors closed on you, so many like blue balls of things of between this festival and this tour and that, and you just keep going and going and going, and it's really I'm really proud of you, man, because you did not take no for an answer.
Well, I learned very early I wasn't one of the cool kids a long time ago, and you know that even started from comedy. When I started stand up, there was no comedy scene in Vegas. There was one open mic in the entire city every other day, every other week in the entire city. So I had to create that myself. Yeah. Now you look at Vegas, or what was Vegas? Who knows what happens to that city after this thing's done? But you know, now the scene is great. It wasn't like that when I started. So I always had to create on my own. And you know, and it's just, I've never been like, dude, my manager would just take meetings with people and they would be like, oh, but I hate this guy, Sam Tripoli. And I don't even know who they are. I couldn't pick them out of a police lineup to save my life. And these people like have a hard on for me. And I'm like, who are they? What did I do? And it's just everything though. Everything becomes a learning lesson for when you do get your shot. See, because I believe everybody will get a shot. What shot it is, who knows? But shit, like, dude, everybody has a moment where the house is on fire. When is that moment in your career? I don't know. It's early or it's late. And sometimes when it happens late, man, people don't know how to handle it because they were just handed shit forever. Yeah. I never got anything. Adam, you're like that. You've just been grinding forever, and you always found a way. You got on the Tonight Show, dude. I mean, like, that's amazing, man. So, but you've always found a way because the failure early, man, numbs you to the failure. So there's no, oh, I failed, woe is me. It's like, okay, on to the next one. But when you've always gotten everything and then failure comes, it is traumatizing because you don't know, you've never had to do it. So now the blessing is I don't celebrate the wins too much and I don't, you know, wallow in the agony too much of the losses. It's just on to the next one. And I created this pirate ship that, you know, I just rip people on Twitter that aren't used to getting ripped and they don't know what to do. They're like, well, I can't get him fired from anything because whatever he does is his own shit. They can't do anything. So it's like I have this fucking pirate ship and occasionally I like to raid people and I love it. I love it.
Some of the things are so funny. Like when you have to apologize for Paris Hilton to her face for calling her a cum dumpster.
Yeah. I had to apologize to her sister. So I had this great bit, you know, and it's funny. And she was like, nah. And that was the end of it. You know, hey, I'm sorry I did your joke about your girlfriend, your sister being a whore. I'm really sorry about that. I should have, nah. And that was the end. I was like, what are we doing here?
And then I saw you recently on your podcast. I saw like
a clip. By the way, she got me back later. She buried me. Dude, there's a very famous time in my life where I would had to Beecher asked me to do the show because he was going to be there. And right before I go on, you know, they want Paris Hilton to go on. And this was at the height of her power. And like, okay, we're going to get the comedy, but real quick, we want to introduce a friend. Please welcome Paris Hilton. And dude, you would think Nelson Mandela just walked out of prison the way the fucking crowd went nuts. Like, she had been doing hard time for fighting oppression. And, dude, they went nuts. And they're like, she's like, how great is Beecher? This show is great, isn't it?
Wow.
And then they're like, welcome, Sam Tripoli. And I walk out and, dude. Did you ever do Beecher at the Hard Rock?
No, Beecher hated me.
It was so loud, you could feel sound. That's how loud it was. You could touch the sound. And, you know, Bill Burr had – it was a famous Bill Burr bomb like 3 weeks before that. Yeah. And somebody told me one time, if you want to get the crowd, just start cheerleading the girls. And, man, I start getting booed, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're booing me. I'm bombing in front of the E-Channel people. So I just started cheerleading – how hot are the chicks? Yeah, ladies. And I had this whole bit about separating the hot chick from the herd, how there's always that one chick I called the goalie, and her job was to make sure nobody scores, right?
Man,
the
dude.
Cock blocker.
Right.
And then you had the one guy whose job it was to fuck the fucking goalie, right? Yeah. The guy who would fuck anything. I called him the monster, and it turned out that I was the monster of my group. It was a whole bit. So I did that bit, and I walked off to a standing O, and the DJ at the time came out. He's like, dude, I've never seen that before. Usually when the booze start, it's fucking over. I'm like, oh, thank God. You know? Well,
I mean, you had so many funny bits. And then one of my favorite bits you did, which was true, was when you took home that hot chick, took home like three hot girls to your place in LA, and then they robbed you.
They robbed me?
They took your PlayStation.
Yeah, they fucking stole PlayStation. They stole Xbox games, cash, CDs. And I'm like, dude, and what sucks is if they would have just fooled around with me, I would just gave them all that shit, you know? A little thank you package.
But he's,
memories, dude.
You're like, I can't get laid. All of a sudden, I'm the Pied Piper of pussy in Hollywood.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, one of my favorite Sam Tripoli stories was when, because I used to have a list of like the worst gigs ever that I did every week, you know. And one time I got you a gig in Long Beach at like some like Bloods and Crips bar. And then I text you and I go, how'd it go, right?
What was the name of that bar, Adam?
It was something like...
Liquid Zoo.
The Liquid Zoo.
Adam, let me tell you something. I've done so many hell gigs in my life because I'm such, like, I love stand-up so much, I'll go into these impossible missions, you know, where it's just like nobody comes out alive. I'm like, give it to me. I need this. I love it. For me to say that was the worst gig I've ever played in my life, do you know how hard? That's like, dude, like being in prison, you're like, this rape was worse than the rest of them. That's how bad it is, right?
Dude, that really got me.
And dude, let me tell you,
I was laughing because I was in acting class and some girl's doing a scene where like she just got raped and like someone died and everyone's crying.
Hilarious.
I'm crying and I'm looking down at my phone and in all caps, lose my number. And I just burst out laughing and everyone, I'm the asshole in acting class who just laughed at some fucking chick who was getting raped.
So what happened, Adam, was that the day before I just gotten a wristband to Michael Jackson's memorial at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
So I had this wristband to go see, you know, Chocolate Jesus's goodbye, right?
Right.
And I walk into the most hood bar I've ever been into, and I'm like, where the fuck is security? Oh, they're in the back rolling joints for everybody. Right?
Hell yeah.
Like, these are the guys that, like, got too high and forgot to protect Biggie, and he got shot up in fucking on Wilshire, right? So I literally watch every bad ethnic comedy kind of goes up, and they all do their version of how their group eats pussy. I kid you not. I'm like, man, Mexicans eat pussy like this. And then a black comic go up and be like, but blacks eat pussy like this. I'm like, now I know you're lying, right? So I'm like, dude, this is the worst gig I've ever played in my life. He's like, it's not that bad. It's like, oh, man. He goes, what's that on your wrist? I go, dude, that's I have a ticket to Michael Jackson's memorial. He goes, dude, if anybody knows you have that here, they will stab you and steal that from you.
Yeah, straight up.
Dude, so then I did the gig. There was a guy walking around with like a boa, a snake guy. There were people selling drugs in the show. But the week after I got you a gig, and this is my favorite San Tripoli story. I got on this gig at like Seal Beach at Hennessy's, and
outstanding.
So you're on. So you tell the big like. So say all right. It ends up.
Did make my specials on one of my older albums. I tell the story of the greatest, like how I got. It was actually. Angelo Bowers, God rest his soul, was his first road gig, and I took him there, and I was just watching, and like I like to watch the room, and this drunk chick came in with her friend, this smoking hot chick, like an LA 10, and she'd just broken up with her girlfriend, which means she was a lipstick lesbian, right? Like not a real lesbian, just mad at dick for a moment. Yeah. Right, so she starts dating chicks until she realizes she hates changing her own tire and paying for her own shit. Right. So I just watch her heckle my friend. I'm like, if this chick heckles me, I'm going to fucking light her up. So I start doing stand up. Right. And she starts heckling me and I just start lighting this chick up and she starts coming up to me like she's going to show me like her ass. And I go, dude, hey, don't let your ass write a check you can't cash. She goes, you don't think I do? I go, I know you won't do it. I have no clue what she's talking about.
Yeah.
She's like, I won't do it. I go, you won't do shit. She goes, lay down. I go, what? She goes, I'm going to sit on your face. This is a true story. So this smoke show pulls off her pants, sits on it is my Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope moment, right? At one moment on planet Earth, I'm the greatest comic ever. You know, Dave Chappelle can kiss my dick at this moment. Cat Williams got nothing. At that moment, Sam Tripoli was king of comedy. Okay. I get off. Everybody's going nuts. Out of nowhere, this Mexican midget lesbian jumps on stage, and she starts fucking swinging on me. Her gay friend comes up, starts punching me in the face. I have a microphone. I won't give up the microphone, so I'm doing play-by-play on me doing my own stand, me getting in a fucking fight. So I was like John Jones and Joe Rogan all at the same moment in a UFC fuck fight.
Well, wasn't the crowd yelling, eat her ass, too? Eat her ass, eat her ass.
Yeah, but as I was doing it, and like an idiot, I told him not to film me. If I would have filmed that, I would have been fucking huge.
Dude, you would have been huge.
Jim Jeffries. That guy got punched in the face, and look how big he is.
You weren't worried about
McDonald's of dark comedy, dude.
You weren't worried about maybe eating some random girl's ass that you didn't know in the middle of a comedy.
I would have been huge, dude. Dude, why do you think I don't get the coronavirus? Because I've been eating ass since 1985.
Bro. Well, so the next week, I do the next week, they had a staff meeting. Where they told the employees to not let the comedians eat people's asses on stage. Like,
listen, dude, there was a day at the San Francisco Zoo where somehow a tiger ate somebody, right? The next day was the busiest day in that zoo's life, okay? Ever. Guess what they did? They just shut down the zoo because they made it so nobody will ever get eaten again, okay?
Right.
If they knew... There was a possibility every Wednesday in Dana Point, someone's getting their ass eaten at a comedy show. That place would be sold out.
It's true. That's true. 100%. That is true. That's true.
I'm just trying to save businesses.
Me and Sam Tyler, we went on this Vivid Video comedy tour, which lasted one city.
The best, dude.
One city. Yeah, it was me, Sam, Sonny Leone, who's now like the biggest star in India.
She's and like Monique, a Bollywood star.
And Monique Alexander. And Greg Wilson,
the porn star.
Yeah, and then Greg Wilson, right?
Greg Wilson. Yeah,
it started off each of us doing like 20 minutes, right? That was the beginning. It ended up with each of us doing 4 minutes of comedy, and then bringing crowd members on stage to like deep throat a
sexy
banana,
dance competition,
sexy dance, spraying them in the face with like Cool Whip while they fake orgasm. It was
Dude, we would be ran out of comedy today if we did that. We would be ran. We would be opening for
like a raunchier man show.
Like Louis C.K. wouldn't even talk to us. That's how scumbag we'd be right now.
The crowd was 90%. Fucking guys that were there to see the porn stars, and instead they see Sam and Greg and me in our underwear running, walking around stage, like taking people's girlfriends on stage, spraying them with Cool Whip. But then some girl went up there, and her boyfriend beat her up in the parking lot.
Oh, dude, I think he murdered her. But was, you know what, was, man.
It was, yeah.
She had a bad night on stage, dude. What can you do?
Dude, so that was the end of our tour.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know what, dude's so funny is like after, you know, so those guys stopped doing that show. And after 6 months, you know, I'm like, man, that was my crowd. I should do a show. So I did the naughty show, right? And, you know, it should have been on TV. But because, you know, I'm just, The reindeer won't let Rudolph play in the reindeer games, right? So it's like I could never get that going. But if you look at like – and like I'm not saying I changed the game, but it's like the reason the Naughty Show doesn't go right now is because they're dirty comedy everywhere. It kind of had its thing, you know? It's like we created a place where you could do some raunchy comedy without people going weird, you know, put porn stars on there so people who don't like porn probably don't like my jokes, so – and it just was huge, man. It was such a good time.
What they did is, and no disrespect to Nikki Glaser, but they took your show and then gave it to Nikki Glaser, who's just not, that's not her thing. Like you could, like you were friends with everybody in the porn business and the comedy business. So it works. Whereas like
Nikki Glaser is a hustler. My only problem with this like filthy, dirty, like women comedy that's going on right now, like right now we're in the golden era of chicks tweeting about coming. Have you noticed that? Like, every chick on Twitter can't stop tweeting about coming right now. I'm like, what happened to not being sex objects? Like 2 weeks before Corona, you're like, I'm not a sex object. Respect me. 2 weeks after Corona, it's like, follow me on Fans Only where I do ventriloquism with my pussy. Okay. It's like, it's like the weirdest thing.
Funny, bro.
I don't care. Like, dude, I don't care. But the truth is like, it's just you're not doing any of the things you're talking about. That's my only problem. Like, everything I talked about on stage is real.
I think that you'd actually be worse off stage. I remember in Tampa, I didn't see you for 4 days. I don't know what the fuck.
Shady Tampa, bro. Deep.
But that was, you know, it was fun to help. But we went to Singapore and we did a military tour. We went to Singapore and Diego Garcia.
Yeah.
And we did shows for the military.
For the USO tour?
Yeah. And we get to Diego Garcia, and it's me, him, my friend Aaron, and I think Tarun went there. And they tell us, hey, yesterday somebody got eaten by a shark. and then they're like,
can't do any shark jokes.
And they're like, hey, do you guys want to go? You guys want to go swimming in the ocean?
And you remember when we caught a fish, we all felt bad? We're like, put it back.
We caught like a bird or something and then fucking gave it back. Or it was just,
put it back, dude. Diego Garcia is such a weird thing because I don't know how they found it's in literally an island in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Everybody's like drag Filipino cover bands. It's just right everywhere you go.
Yeah. I'm okay.
Tommy Allegato, Mr. Arobato, Tama.
Dude, you actually got me my first job doing warm up for the Playboy Channel, which like for night calls and for you were like I remember we went.
I used to love that show. That show, that channel should have been what like Entourage the show wanted to be. It should have just been a cool channel. For some reason, when TV does shows for like men, it's like knuckle dragger dumb shit. It's like, watch us go mudding, duh. You know, like every show's that.
Hits and guns.
Why can't we just like, hey, watch us hang out with these chicks who are way hotter than us and do a cool fucking show? I went and pitched it to this chick. I forget who the creative person was for Playboy. But I'm like, it's basically a show where it's like, we have strippers and porn stars. She's like, you just named everything I hate. I go, you work for Playboy. What are you talking about? This ain't the Lifetime Channel, bitch.
I hate him.
Man, there are so many issues. Like, there's so many times like that where I would get the job or I get a thing where I'm like, it's so obvious what's right. I mean, we've seen it so many times where like they're casting for a show and someone will murder and then they'll be, have some alternative comic play the ukulele and no one laughs and they go, that's our guy. And we're just like, but what about the guy who everyone liked? And they're like, oh, well, it's like people, I think a lot of times executives are, they want to
listen,
feel like
dude. Most of these execs, bro, are the shittiest comics on the fucking planet. I can't even tell you. There's this one guy that's been working at this one channel forever, and he just ate bags of dicks constantly. And then he just became the guy who decided. And you know what he liked? Shit comedy.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is, you know. So they want to like. It's like there's a comedy club out here that opened up in the Valley, and it's not the Ha Ha. It's another one. They were started by a horribly bad, clean comic.
Yep.
And they wanted their club to be clean.
Yeah.
And it ruined their club. Their club should have been an A-list club. But right. Because they're like, I want everything to be like, so I was good. It's like, no, you should do what's best. And that's why the industry is so relevant.
They wouldn't put me back in Canada. They said I was too dirty. And they're like, well, we pride our club on being crystal clean. And right now, we're just trying to stay in business. I'm like, do you understand why you're not saying in business?
Separate things, yeah. Those things go hand in hand.
Comedy is the only thing that goes away from the train wreck mentality of promotion. Like, everything else is like crash big and everyone will come and stare. When you see a car crash, don't you slow down to stare? That's what people want. People, business owners mistake people leaving, getting angry at a joke for not enjoying it. Dude, people love getting pissed off. They want an emotion. Their lives are shit. They want to feel something.
Now, Sam, before we talk to Lauren, I'm so happy Lauren's here. I saw one of your clips recently. You went off on Chelsea Handler and said that she was like, she should make racist monkey jokes about Lonnie Love back in the day. You just tore into her how much of a hypocrite she was. Are you worried at all about any kind of blowback from some of these people?
What's she going to do? Not let me talk about lizard people? Is that what she's going to do? Like,
she's going to cancel the tinfoil hat show?
Listen, dude, I got it on very, very good authority from some very trustworthy people that were all telling me together that she would hold up pictures of animals and say they were Lonnie Love's family. And that's just a fact. And, you know, it's like, and listen, dude, I used to do a ton of blow, bro, and had a bad sex addiction, okay? Chelsea and I should have been good friends. Like, you know, we both work in that wheelhouse. But we weren't because she, you know, it's like, dude, you got a cheat code. I don't hate you for that. Stop lecturing us on morality. Lecture us when we say, hey, fuck your married boss for a TV show. Then I want to hear that, okay? Outside of that, just enjoy your money. You broke, you found a glitch in the matrix.
Yeah.
Enjoy
it. You did it.
So you're not worried about like Judd Apatow being like, oh, I'm casting any of his friends going after you for going after him?
Dude, all my friends would. Dude, who's he going to go after? Joey Diaz?
No, I'm saying
Joe
you.
Rogan?
No, I'm saying going after you. I'd say they want to put you in something.
But what is he going to do?
You're a good actor. You're a good host. You're a good producer.
I am the shittiest actor in the fucking world, dude. I have two emotions, okay? I'm Armenian and I have horny and angry. So that's it. That's my range. And if you want like a creepy Uber driver, then hire me. But that's it. I mean, I can't act to save my fucking life.
Well, speaking of horny and angry, Lauren Murphy, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. I'm not angry today.
Okay, so you're here with Sam Tripoli, one of the best comics in the world.
Hey,
Lauren, I just want to say I watched your last fight, and I was so happy for you and your emotions. It was so awesome to watch, and, like, just congratulations, man. Like, I you know, sometimes I'll watch The Ultimate Fighter, and I just, like, I wish everybody could win because I just, as an artist, I know, like, how much you put into, like, your art.
Yeah,
such an insane business. So to see you win was really cool to see. So congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked really hard for that one. So it was pretty good feeling. Thanks. I appreciate that.
And you also got Tyler Smith. Tyler's my co-host. We coach wrestling together. He's a Marine. as well as a huge pothead and a fellow conspiracy theorist, as long as with Sam.
You sound like the most interesting person in the world, Tyler.
I'm interesting, not the most.
Now, Lauren, how are you dealing with the coronavirus? Are you still training? Are you working out? What's going on?
Yeah, I actually sparred this morning. It's been really good. I've been able to heal up some old, like, nagging injuries. Actually, I'm glad you brought up that fight, Sam. I just got back from physical therapy. I actually have not told anybody this. You guys are the first people to know. Before my last fight, about a week before fight week, I blew my back out. And so I didn't do anything for the week before fight week. And then the week of fight week, I rested and rested and just tried to get my back better. And then we went out and fought. And luckily, I didn't really feel it in the fight or anything like that. Like, you just have so much adrenaline. And then with coronavirus happening, the lockdown, we've been super blessed to, like, be able to heal up all those injuries and be able to do some PT and stuff like that. So I just got back from, I went sparred this morning, had really great sparring rounds. I went to physical therapy, and now I get to take the rest of the day off. So
now, it was a close fight. Did you think Andrea was going to be that tough?
Yeah. I knew she was going to be that tough for sure. Like, I've seen her fight since she was an Invicta, and I know how tough she is. So we went into that fight, and I had worked so hard, and I was like, I really wanted to finish her. I really wanted to get a good finish in that fight, and my coaches had me really well prepared. I felt super confident, and I think about that now, and I'm like, oh my God, what if we were like 1% less prepared? Like, what if I was just like 1% less confident, or even just a little bit less, had been just a little bit lazier in my camp? She probably would have smoked me. I know how tough Andrea is. So
it was a close fight. I thought you won, but it was really close. But I saw after the fight, you were fighting with trolls online, and I hit you up, and I was like, stop fighting with trolls. You won. But I do the same thing, but
you know how it is. It's like, you work so hard. I know it was a close fight. Honestly, when they called us to the middle, I was like, I don't know whose name they're going to say. I did not know if they were going to say my name or Andrea's name, but like, my job is to go out and fight. I'm not a fucking judge. It's not my job to judge the fights. I just go out and fight, which I did. And I fought really hard. And so to have people like come attack me online after that, it's like, fuck you. Like, and you know how I am. I don't want to just sit there and take it. I hate reading that shit. And then people are like, oh, take the high road. Don't say anything back. I'm like, no, nobody's going to talk to me like that. They're going to get a fuck you from me if they come talking shit directly to me, you know?
I try so hard not to get into it. But then I also love just stealing. I mean, like, because these trolls are like, Adam, these trolls are day one open micers.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, like, I'm 25 years in. I'm dead on the inside.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I know, but you can never win. I feel like even if I, yeah, like, even on YouTube, I start going in it with people, and I'm like, what the fuck? It's not the time that I'm spending on them. It's the next half an hour or an hour, or that it's still in my fucking head.
Where you're calling me at fucking 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, where I'm like, this fucking guy said this. And then I'm like, that's the problem. It's the rest of the day. If I could just deal with it, it's the rest of the day where and then I'm not focusing on my kid or my wife or anything else in my life that's important.
And you're right, you can't win with them either. So usually I'll get into it and we'll go back and forth a little bit. And then usually like you or somebody else that's close to me will step in and give me a little intervention and be like, hey. Like, I can knock it off. I'm like, all right, we'll kind of go on with our lives. But
Sam, if you don't know Lauren's story, it is the most. So she's her parents died when her dad died when she was younger, 15. He was a pilot. She got like $50,000 inheritance. Spent it all in 2 weeks, partying her ass off. All kinds of drugs and blow. She had a kid when she was like 19 years old, lost custody of the kid, got hooked on heroin, all kinds of fucking crazy drugs in Alaska, right? Then took a jiu-jitsu class at like 22 with her kid.
I was like 26.
26. Yeah. Got so good at, loved it so much. Here she is 10 years later, ranked number 3 in the world.
I love it, man.
And not on drugs anymore.
I love it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It's been awesome.
Those are my favorite, like, especially like to get to the UFC, to make it to the UFC, not just like, oh yeah, I fight for LFA or I fight for King, you know, like you made it to the UFC through all this bullshit. And it's like, of course you're supposed to be there. Like
right.
Me trying to be a fighter. And I grew up in church and my parents stayed together and they're, you know, I had this loving family and like, I'm not making it to the fucking UFC. Sorry. Not going to happen. Unless my name's Alex. So
like when you're fighting with trolls, I'm looking at the bigger picture with you.
Yeah. I know. You know, you always lose the big picture when you're in the middle of it. Nobody can fucking see what's going on when you're like in the middle of it. It's always somebody on the outside or when you're looking back from like a long time later where you're like, oh, that was dumb of me to do that. You know,
there's so much of that story that I love. One, it's never too late.
Yeah.
And two, I tell this to people all the time. Your life can be 180 degrees different in 1 year. It just, all you have to do is do it, man. It's just like the difference. A lot of times, obviously there's talent in this world and we all come with a certain skill set, but you know, like the difference between the haves and the have nots is the haves just tried it and did it and didn't take no for an answer. You know,
so much truth in that. And like, and just like you guys have probably found out through your careers, you guys are all performers, you know? And so you guys have found out there's ups and downs and you have to have a lot of perseverance. Like anybody who gets in front of a crowd, like you guys do, or I do, or it, you know, there's going to be ups and downs in that career. And just having the perseverance to kind of stick it through the low times so that you can experience the high times is so important. Cause I think, and I don't even know the world of comedy, but I imagine it has to be quite similar where you'll have a fairly talented comedian and maybe they just have a rough night on the mic or they end up, you know, in a club that the audience just isn't feeling them and maybe they quit after that, you know?
So it's not even that. It's like it becomes to the point where the performance is the easy part. I mean, obviously writing new jokes, whatever. It's like, hey, I just killed. Everyone loved it. I got a standing ovation. People are like DMing me. Where can I follow you? I made $500 in merch. And then you go home to a Motel 6 and then you go on Facebook and you see all these comics that started 10 years after you, or they're like, just got a fucking development deal with HBO and just got my Hulu. and then you put on TV and then you see like, tonight, making his Tonight Show debut, fucking open mic, Allison, and you're just like, what the fuck?
So stand-up is very much like sports. It is results-driven. Yeah. And for a short time, they tried to push people that weren't getting results. And you know, no disrespect to Kimbo Slice. The guy did wonderful. But I mean, I think we know what the skill set was. And, you know, and what Bellator did, they're great at doing that. I think they do a much better job of protecting their brands than UFC does. UFC will throw their brand right into a fire. They've done it a couple times with Brock Lesnar. And when they, you know, Conor McGregor comes back and fights one of the greatest fighters of all time after taking 2 years off, like those are crazy things. And, but now we're getting to a place where it's like it's result driven, like, you know, Adam's social media, my social media, all these guys on the internet. It's like you either get the results or you don't get the results. And if you don't, it's like maybe this isn't the game for you, which is a lot like sports. If you can't score, get the knockout, get the win, catch the ball, it's like you're no use to anybody.
Right. Yeah. And maybe on a recreational level, you know, if you have a guy that just can't perform or doesn't have the physical talent or whatever it is, then maybe like on a recreational level, if he wants to practice with the team or something, that's one thing. But yeah, to be a high level pro, I think you do have to have like some sort of skill set behind you, either like mad toughness or, you know, maybe you grew up fighting. But my husband and I talk about that a lot, that like, that these girls like Valentina Shevchenko and Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey, they were bred to be champions, you know, like they've literally been fighting their whole lives. They've had very supportive parents and support systems around them. They've trained since they were very young. Those women should be champions and they should be at the top echelon of our sport. For someone like me who did not grow up playing any sports, who did not have any idea of athletics, who smoked a pack a day and drank a lot and did not get started in her career until I was 26, I should not be at the top of the sport. I had way more ground to make up than these chicks. You know what
but
I mean?
Also didn't, but you also didn't have the burnout, though. There's also you didn't have the burnout.
You didn't have the burnout. Like, that's also why fighting is different than any other sport, because it, like, you can be a far better athlete than someone and get the shit kicked out of you.
Right? Yeah, you can, yeah.
It is exactly, especially MMA is a thinking man sport. I mean, pure athleticism, I mean, can only get you so far. It is mental chess. The one thing I like about sports that we don't see in stand-up is, like, usually the great athletes or the people who are very who are recognized as being, like, almost like savants in the sport move in to the industry. Whereas in our stuff, like, the industry is always the most failed ones of us. They couldn't make it in what we were doing. So they go to the suit side because they just don't want to get a regular job at Kinko's. Nothing against Kinko's, but, you know, so they go there, and then you're competing with people that were just, like, you know, that couldn't do anything like you did. And, like, that's the one thing I wish we saw more in stand-up, that the industry would bring in great comics, to pick great comics to work with, you know?
Yeah, that's
Adam, you're going to get so much shit on this show. Yeah. One, I don't shut up. This is what you're going to get. That guy never shut up and let Adam talk. And why do you guys talk MMA? I want to apologize right now.
First of all, we do a show every day. We do a show every day during the pandemic. I've talked enough for the month. I like to actually hear other people's perspectives because I'm like learning a lot. Yesterday, we had Pat Miletich.
I'm happy to sit here.
Pat Miletich, I mean, you talk about, he makes you look normal, Sam, as far as conspiracies. He is convinced that this coronavirus was a way for, I mean, Tyler, he was saying that the globalists
are trying to take over our economy, make a whole one world economy. They're going to get everybody together in one central bank.
No, but he was saying that basically that, like, the U.S. had the print that there was a spy at Harvard, a Chinese spy in Harvard, and the U.S. sent the Chinese basically a transcript of the coronavirus, and then they developed it, and now everyone's trying to sink the economy on a global market so that they could buy back everything for much cheaper. And the sad part is it all made sense to me. Everything he said, I was like, man, is that true?
Because it's all 100% true, bro.
And the reason I'm mentioning this, Sam, is because I never knew that you were so deep into conspiracies like 10, 15 years ago. But it seems like people are really enjoying what you're saying and also listening. So what's your take on the coronavirus?
It is a billionaire boys club, Magic the Gathering wet dream we could sit there. I could break it down all for you. There's simulations ran Crimson Contagion, Event 201, Dark Winter, where they role played basically this and rolled it out. And this is where we're at right now. And I just think it's failed. And, you know, who knows, man? I just, you know, sometimes I think we're out there fighting for, my fellow man and woman in this country. And then I look at, like, you know, the wedding, the mass singers killing it. And I'm like, who am I fighting for right now?
Coexist.
No, okay.
What's the end goal, Sam?
There were a lot of things you just said. Okay, so from what I understand, because I'm not as deep in it, but people say that Bill Gates, that he said this was going to happen. And that there was
in 1994,
kind of
George Magazine, which was JFK Jr.'s magazine.
Right.
He is in an article, and he talks about how there's too many people, basically, in the world, and that he thinks at some point there will be a virus that will come that will eliminate a large portion of the humanity with a lung viral infection.
So here's my point to all the conspiracy. If we're really trying to go for population control, why the fuck are we using such a shitty virus?
Yeah.
Because they didn't think it was going to be a shitty virus.
Let's go. Let's get these millions. Like, if we're going to go some population control, we need like 10, 15, 20 million people, not 100,000.
Hey, there's a game that you can download right now on your iPhone.
Look at the reaction people's have.
And you can make your own virus. You can, like, create one and send it out to the world and see how it affects people. You can mutate it. Actually, a woman who works for the UFC introduced me to it, and it was right before Corona hit. So you guys should go check it out. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So now there's an app you can make your own virus now? This is what we're doing with our lives?
Yeah. Welcome to anarchy.
But Sam, so there's so many different ones going on right now. There's so many different, there's the 5G, there's the stuff going on with Q talking about the kids, the earthquakes being, you know, military underground explosions that they're saving sex, like trafficked people. We have, yeah. I mean, there's so many right now. And obviously there's always so many because there's something that's true in the midst of all of it. So
here's
me and Sam were talking about
nonlinear warfare.
So about 6 months ago, me and Sam, we were in a parking lot outside your comedy club, the Dojo Comedy Club. And you're like, I talked about being a parent and this and that. And you're like, yo, listen, man, something's going to go down. There's a whole huge pedophile ring in Hollywood and it's huge. It's conspiracy. And this one's it. And I was like, man, what the fuck's he talking about? Okay. All right. I got to go. And then next thing I know, Jeffrey Epstein gets arrested. And I was like, fuck, man, maybe Sam, what the hell? Like, maybe he is telling the truth. Like, you were talking about that pet. I mean, tell me what you were saying and whether or not this validated.
We have this thing called Pizzagate, right?
Pizzagate, bro.
Yes.
That's something called Pizzagate. And they made that name so people make fun of it, right? But the reality is that, like, all these WikiLeaks emails come out. And that's 2015. Fast forward to 2019, where how many associates of the Clinton Global Initiative do you believe were arrested? And if they made it to trial, put on trial, how many people? How many people associated would you say?
I would say in the dozens.
How many? Dozen.
I mean, for Pizzagate? No.
Five major child sex trafficking. You had Jeffrey Epstein, you had Nexium, you had John of God, you had El Chapo. People don't ever talk about that. That was charges he was brought up on. And then you had this guy named George Nader, who they were telling you was a Trump guy, but he was. So the point is, it's 100% true. Nobody just keeps score. This is an MMA podcast. I'll break it all down for you, dude. You'll be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'll call you after.
It's about blackmail.
Okay.
I'll break it all down for you, dude.
You should. You should write up like a diagram.
And it's
like
real and it sucks.
Well, what's the name of why don't you plug your podcast right now so people can, they want to hear these conspiracies.
It's called Tim Fall Hat with Sam Tripoli. And we just do, you know, day to day. I mean, there's some crazy shit going down about how the coronavirus and Kobe Bryant's death are connected. There's some crazy shit with that. The Boulets. Nobody knows about the Boulets. And it's just like, here's all I have to say, man.
What's
the world of conspiracies is so much more interesting than what you're watching on the news. It's way more fun. It's way more interesting. And it gives you a little bit of more hope. Here's a crazy thing. The people who assassinated Julius Caesar are the same people that assassinated JFK. It's a small group of people, and we just put up with their shit. Like, do you know that, like, 1,200 people? Or, like, 2,500 people?
How old are they? How is it the same people? the people are 1,000 years old. How Julius Caesar was the same person?
The same group of people.
Hold on.
You thought it was the same
people, man.
Wow.
Same group, bro. Names. It's the same group. It's one.
Was it Dan Henderson? That guy.
They've been running shit for a couple thousand years.
Yep.
I mean,
it was Atlantis, then it was Egypt, then it was Rome. Rome never fell. They just rebranded themselves. They're like, why do we have to have armies everywhere? We could just put
right
churches, and that's how we'll run game.
Wow. All right. Well, listen. All right, Lauren. So who do you want to fight next?
I'd like to fight Roxanne. Tyler, that's awesome. I'd like to fight Roxanne, but honestly, anybody in the top five flyweight, any top five flyweight, I would fight.
Here's what I knew Lauren was like my girl. So I'm on stage, and I was like, who has implants? And Lauren raises her hand, right? Which I like never knew. Most girls aren't. Right. And then I was like, who likes cum on their face? And then she raised her hand.
That is like, not how it went, Adam.
So Alaskan chicks don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I was like, this is my kind of girl right here. She's
she likes to beat the shit out of people locked in a cage.
She's a fighter, and she likes cum on her face. That, I mean, what else? And she has a great dog. I mean,
Sweet dog. My husband was so happy that night that we went to your show.
He's like, I'm getting all these kinds of questions answered. That I
have. You know what's very interesting about MMA fighters and comics is, like, you know, there'll be these guys that and ladies in the octagon that are just so violent. You're like, damn, that's violence. And then you meet them, they're the nicest people. Right. And the same thing with comedy. Some of the darkest guys on stage are the nicest people on. They get their rage out on the stage. Yeah. So I always say it's like not all clean comics are assholes, but most asshole comics were clean. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they're the guys making like business decisions. But same thing in fighting. Like, the most vicious dude, you meet them in person, like, they're the nicest people.
I 100% agree.
Bill Cosby.
I mean, there's a bunch of comics.
Bill Cosby.
There's a comic right now who is known as, like, the family Christian comic, and he could not be more of a dickhead. Like, just
really?
Who?
Whatever.
I've learned the nicer they are in Hollywood, the bigger the scumbag they are.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of out there that, like, you're just like.
Like, oh, Ellen's a cunt.
Who?
I've heard
Ellen?
A dick. I've heard
she's a cunt. She treats her staff like
no
shit.
No way, really?
I've heard horror stories about Ellen.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, awful. No.
From people that worked on her show that aren't allowed to
talk.
Dude,
she hasn't talked to her staff about what's going on in over a month. Like, how selfish are you?
Yeah, that's crazy. That makes me sad.
Two shows, that's just your name, so that should tell you something.
But then, like, Jim Norton is the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, if you like to get peed on by trannies, what do you got to hide?
Last fight week, when we fought here in Houston, John Jones was on the card. And from the time we did, like, media day until the fight, for some reason, he and I just kept crossing paths. Like, we would be in a room full of people, and he and my husband are the same height. So they would look across, like, the room above everybody's heads and kind of catch eyes and nod at each other. And then he rode the bus with us to weigh-ins, and that was super cool. He was so nice. It was almost like he was so talkative and kind, and just, like, he listened to what people were saying to him. He was kind of silly. And to be, like, the world champion and be so famous, he was just such a nice dude. And then we did the fight. We were in his locker room with him. Even while he was warming up, he was super polite, didn't seem nervous before he went to fight at all. And then the next week, all this shit goes down with him getting in trouble in Albuquerque. And it's like, man, John Jones truly was a super kind human being when we were hanging out with him. He's a hell of an athlete. Like, there's all these good things about this guy. And all the media talks about really is.
I think maybe he might be bipolar.
He's also like a fighter, man. I mean, like.
Well, I mean, he's also just a being.
They're outlaws, dude.
He's also one of my favorite jokes.
And he's so young. He's so young and so powerful, and he has so much. Like,
he's the greatest fighter ever.
I would lose it if I were his age. When I was his age, I was a psycho. If I were also rich and famous when I were that age, I would have been in a lot more trouble. I'm sure.
Remember when Justin Bieber was a kid and everyone's lighting him up? I'm like, dude, the guy's 15, a billionaire, and he's got, like, adults begging him to get pregnant. I mean, like, what else is he going to do? Like, the shit I did when I was a kid, I would be, it's crazy.
But
he
has to think,
I didn't do shit like that.
One of my favorite jokes you ever did was when you talked about how John Jones's mom had three kids.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how Nike doesn't sponsor that woman, just have her cranking out pro athletes.
For reals, though.
Like, dude, every one of her kids is a champion. Yeah. Both of her sons won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Man.
That's crazy.
And the other one is arguably the greatest.
Here's my thing, dude. I love Dana White and I love the UFC, man. What they've done is amazing. There's a couple things, this is Sam speaking, that I just think make me nervous. I do feel like the Reebok deal is going to hurt this sport in a while, because the way the sport grows with better athletes is by them making as much money as possible.
I think it's almost done.
I think it ends this year, right, Adam?
Yeah.
And then the UFC and ESPN makes me very nervous too, because these guys are, dude, you fighters, man, you guys are a different breed and you guys are savages. And, you know, and it's just like, they expect them to play by gentlemen rules all the time in their lives. I mean, You guys are almost like the old country music singers.
Yeah, but as far as like John Jones, I don't think hitting somebody, hitting a woman and fleeing the scene of an accident is.
I don't think that's right, dude. And I'm not saying that, man. And, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. I've done some fucking dumb shit in my life.
Yeah,
and I'm lucky that that didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a world champion, I'd probably be in jail, man, you know. But I also, you know, I just wish – it's very hard to be a heel in MMA because you. I just don't think – like, Floyd Mayweather made a lot of money
perfectly
because he could get so much of the pay-per-view so people would tune in to see him get knocked out. I don't know if that's possible.
There's been so many good heels in MMA. Chael Sonnen was a great heel. Ronda Rousey was a great heel. Conor McGregor was a great heel when he was talking shit about it. I love a good heel in MMA because MMA is one of the few sports where you can really talk shit and get into it. And, man, people that are good at it and can fight, they're going to make so much money, and they bring so many eyes to the sport. But I think Chael Sonnen was probably the best heel.
I wish John Jones would just go – like when Batman goes dark, you know how they have that series where it's a bizarro world where Batman's no longer a good guy, but he's like a scumbag vigilante. Like, I wish John Jones would be like that. Fuck it. The Lord help him.
Sam, did you almost fight Dan Cook one night?
Oh, yeah. I almost, you know, I mean, I, my opinion, oh, your daughter's gorgeous, buddy. Yeah. So beautiful. And that's a girl, right? That's not one of these new trans kids.
By the way, how do your kids like the toys they gave you?
Wonderful, dude. They haven't played with them yet, but I've shook them in front of them. And when they get to that point, they're going to crush it. But I wish John Jones would just go heel, be like, yeah, dog, like strippers and punching people and shooting guns.
I feel like there may be something to the hiding it all the time. That, like, because I don't even think he's hiding it, really. It's like he is both of those people. Like, we're all a lot of different people in different situations. So like, he's nice to Lauren and he's in the locker room and just chill, blah, blah, blah. That is because later that night he's gonna go get fucked up and bang some stripper and like become that other person. So you take that away, or you take one of the sides away, and it's like, what does he become?
Yeah.
If you
I think he should lean into it, dude.
It's hard to be a good heel because, like, you have to be funny. You have to be super on point. You do kind of have to keep your own nose clean a little bit. And then the other part of that is that you do have to win a good portion of the time. You have to be real talented. And so John's got that part covered. I think he can beat anybody in the world on, you know, obviously any given day. He's the best. He's the GOAT. It is hard to be a successful heel in MMA. To get the people on your side while you're being a bad person is pretty, it takes a lot of talent. That's why there's been so few, you know. But the ones that do it well make a lot of money, and they really do put a lot of eyes on our sport. And then they can do that on camera and be whoever they want in the locker rooms and on the buses, on the way to weigh-ins and everything else. And people that know them love them, and then the public might hate them, but it doesn't matter, you know.
I think you should be like a Mike Tyson in that. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm the champ, dude, and I bang everything that moves, and I'll fight with syphilis. I don't care. Whatever it takes, man. You know? And just, like in stand-up, dude, I'm very honest with my flaws. Because I don't want people to be like, oh, you're really – I'm like, dude, I own everything.
I live with me. I know.
Yeah. So I'm really honest with my flaws that I don't have to hide weird shit. Like, I'm a weirdo, dude. I'm a real weirdo, dude. But that's who I am, and that's why I've met three people in my life that are normal comedians, okay? Fortune Finster, Maz Gibrani, and Dwayne Perkins. They're the only normal people that are funny. Everybody else is crazy. I don't mean that in a bad way, like bad people. They're just a little crazy, man. And that's what makes funny. Ask your next door neighbor to tell you a joke. They'll shit the bed, right? Because they're not – you have to be a little off to get.
Well, I think everybody has that. Just most people know how to either block it or don't know how to flip it to make it. It's just I'm sad rather than.
Well John Jones did that. He kind of did that because they were like, remember when Cormier was like, man, you were raw dog and prostitutes tonight, a week of, and he was like, yeah, it was the best week of my life.
Yeah, so, exactly. It's perfect. That's the only way you can respond.
Right now, too, like people give him shit on Twitter, and he's like, "Whatever, still winning." So yeah. I mean, he doesn't really give a shit.
And like, that's the thing. Before, he wasn't like that. Like, yeah. He's like,
I'm a good Christian.
He's starting to like let himself
embrace it a little bit and maybe embrace his role as a.
Sam, before we leave, when you say I'm a weird dude, weird.
Yeah. Like, I knew that was going to happen. I knew Adam wasn't going to sit well with that. Because like, I'm like, should I just include Adam just so he doesn't get his feelings hurt?
No, not me being weird. I'm saying you. You saying I'm a weird guy.
I just am a weirdo, brother. I shine in the darkness.
Like, for what do you do that's so weird?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, dude. Wait till the special comes out. I'm a weirdo. The best part is like I'm a dad too now. So yeah, I'm
kind of worried about it actually.
Why are you worried, dude?
I'm not.
You do you, boo.
There's so
I'm a grown ass man handling my shit, pay my bills.
He's handling it. It's just a little weird. That's all.
Hey, I'm a weirdo. I'm not normal. I like weird shit, and I enjoy it, man.
Talking about transgender porn or like is that?
Hey man, I've gone down some weird roads, brother.
If you think that's weird,
yeah, I mean, see, Adam thinks it's weird. Adam's making this
that's
weird.
Not
Everybody
weird.
Else that's is like, yeah, dude, that wow, that chick's got a big dick. How'd we get here? You know, that's life.
I'm not saying I'm asking you.
You think that's weird? What? Don't ever hang out with Marines, bro.
Well, yeah, really? Tyler, you're the transgender porn, Tyler.
Oh, dude, we're fucking dirty.
Dude, I broke Pornhub. I saw every porno on Pornhub at one point. I was like, yep, seen it all. What can you do, dude? It is what it is.
Our reward for being good when we were just little baby boots, like in fucking learning how to kill people, was we all got to gather around like kindergartners with our teachers sitting up there with a laptop holding porn in front of us. Like,
this is what the Marines are doing right now. You're jerking off. What did you guys do?
We're literally like a classroom, like sitting, you know, crisscross applesauce, hands on your knees, like smiles on our face. All right, we're going to watch 10 minutes of porn because you guys are good.
Yeah. I mean, like, dude, there's some person out there that knows every form of tree frog out there and they're seen as an expert. And I could tell you about the fucking chronological history of pornography, and I'm a loser. You know, it's like, doesn't make any sense.
I'm not saying you're a loser. I'm saying you go, I'm a weird guy.
I am a weird guy, dude. Have you seen my act?
You're saying there's levels of weird.
I've known you. You don't seem that weird. You know, I mean, you definitely.
Well, Adam,
like,
I'm not inviting you to the weirdness. That's why.
You're kind of a shapeshifter.
I am. I'm a lizard person.
Like 1 minute you'll be like 250 and then you'll be 160 the week after. And then like you're definitely person. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I fluctuate, bro. I'm a fluctuator.
All right.
I have gained probably 20 pounds during this quarantine.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Good job, Tyler.
All right, thanks, Tyler. All right. So listen, people. That was our podcast. Lauren,
let me just stop by saying I don't care that I didn't shut up. I'm sorry I overtalked Adam. I'm sorry we didn't talk as much MMA as you guys normally do. Adam just wanted to hear about me on the road eating butts. Like, hey,
it was kind of weird, right? It was a little weird, yeah. No,
we always get off MMA somehow.
It's all good. It's all good. We got Lauren is here. Lauren, you look very high. How much did you smoke today?
Well, I sparred this morning, so I had to have a little bit before that. And then I went to the doctor. So, no, I'm just kidding. No, I haven't smoked yet today, but as soon as we're done on this podcast, I'm going to step
up. Do you actually smoke before sparring?
No, I was joking. No.
Really?
I would never. Okay, I do sometimes, but not today.
Hey.
How's the Black Beast doing?
Before sparring.
I'm sorry, what?
How's Derek Lewis doing?
He's good. He's doing good, man. Yeah, he's funny as ever. I haven't seen him in a while in the gym just because they've been closed, but I've seen him on Instagram. Like, he's living the life, man. I think he just bought another car. He's out there in his dune buggy. Like, he's having the time of his life.
And Tyler, what were you saying? You smoke before sparring?
I was saying, how awesome is smoking before sparring? Or like maybe roll, maybe not full, like if you're going full hard MMA.
Yeah, no, we did like, MMA rounds this morning, so we took it kind of easy, but like before jiu-jitsu
or like light technique, smoking before sparring is right? It's like,
if you're just going to go in for open mat and roll around and have, you know, have a good time, try some new stuff out, try new positions. Like, yeah, it's super, super fun to get high before you go in. And then sometimes you make new connections or things might slow down for you. Like, yeah. I can't
remember when they were trying to say that, you know, John Jones using cocaine was performance enhancing.
100%. Dude,
do you know how stupid that was? Like, you would literally have to do scoops in the middle of the rounds while you're going to fight.
I don't know, man. The only thing cocaine ever did for me was that I was, like, trying to get high with some asshole that would not stop talking about weird shit. Usually couldn't leave my apartment. I was not in shape. I don't know how people do stuff like that in the middle of a fight. To me, that's crazy.
Dude, that was, like, the thing back in the day, dude.
Wait, I was Dan Tripoli?
That were just doing
I did in the middle of that. I was like, I'm describing Sam right now.
There you go, man. That's dude. I've been kicked out of hotel rooms I was paying for because I was the weirdo.
That's hysterical. That is so funny, man. Well, listen, Sam, when is the special coming out?
I don't have a special coming out. I got to shoot one. I might. My last one, dude, I put it on my conspiracy channel, and I think it got shadow banned, or either I'm the worst comic ever, one or the other. You know, so it's if you go to samtripoli.com, okay, it's called it's like Live from the Viper Room, and it's two specials. One is Zero Fucks, and the other one is Armageddon, and you can watch them both for free at samtripoli.com.
You're hilarious. And Tyler, where can people find you?
Smithero BJJ on Instagram, SMITHERO BJJ.
And Lauren?
I'm at Lauren Murphy, MMA. Yeah, come find me. Come follow me. Hit me up. We'll chat.
How do I get a shirt? Are you selling shirts on your website?
I don't have any shirts right now. I was just talking to somebody about getting some made, though. I haven't had any shirts made in so long, but I need to get some made so that I can start peddling them.
Yeah, no, you look very happy. You look great, by the way.
Thank you. I love Texas. Ever since we moved to Texas, I've been happy as shit.
Where do you live in Texas?
Houston, just outside Houston.
I want to move to Houston so bad, but it floods all the time. That's my only problem.
It's worth it, brother. It's a small price to pay to live in paradise. Houston is fucking awesome.
I love Texas, man. I love
it. The weather's been beautiful since we arrived. Like, I just love it here. The weather's great. The food is good. People are really nice. Lots of good training.
Well, yeah. If I decide to abandon my daughters because I haven't chosen if I'm going to stick around or not, you know, maybe I'll move to Houston.
Bring them with you. Bring all of them.
I would never leave my babies. Lauren,
any more kids away for you? She froze. Lauren?
Or she hung up on you because you asked an inappropriate question.
She wants to have more kids? Really? Is that inappropriate?
Too personal.
Oh, of course. All right. Well, we're going to find out next time if Lauren wants to have more kids because she's frozen right now. Sam, thank you. Tyler, thank you. Lauren, thank you. Take care, guys.
Bye, bud. Thank you for having me on, dude. Түүний сонс тө хөвчм дөрбөлэн. Та дэс тоотан дөрбөлэн боруулаа.